Amen. Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you this morning. So glad that you are here. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming and spending time in worship with us. We pray that God has already blessed your heart today and that that would only continue, only continue. I've been praying about which direction my preaching should go, and so we're going to do something a little bit different this month. We're going to study, now some of you, this will bring great fear and trembling into your heart. We're going to study the book of Proverbs in the month of September. And so all 31 chapters, I'm going to preach through them this month. Now think about that. I preached about half of chapter 5 last week, and we went about 15 minutes long. So y'all, I hope you're not hungry. No, I'm just joking. But we're going to study the book of Proverbs this month. It's a book that, to be honest with you, we as preachers, we kind of go and grab a verse here and there. But very seldom, I don't think I've ever just taken the book of Proverbs and done a series on them. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do that this month. And I hope and pray that you'll be with us if you can. I hope that you'll keep up as we go. The guys in the back do such a great job of posting the sermons and the videos and things, audio and videos online. So even if you can't be with us, you can stay up. Because it's not just going to be in preaching time. I've got some homework for you this month, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. What we're going to be doing is I'm going to challenge us as a church family that every day, starting today, every day we're going to read one chapter of Proverbs. Today is the first, and so we're going to start by reading chapter 1 today in your private time this afternoon. I hope that you will. Tomorrow, read the second, so on and so on and so on. And it's going to take us all the way up to October the 1st. And so we'll read all 31 chapters. Now, here's what we're going to do. Is during this month, as we as a church family all read the same text and walk through those things together, what we're going to be doing is sending you some information. We're going to be sending you some focal verses, if you will. We're going to be sending you some things to be praying about, and as you read that chapter, we're going to do that in some different ways. We'll post those things on our Instagram account. We'll try to get some on our Facebook account. We'll try to get it on our mass texting and our emails and all those different things, and at the end of the service, we'll get all that information up for you so you can know how to follow along. So the whole goal of this is that we as God's people would be reading the same book together as we move forward day by day, praying through that text and seeking godly wisdom. Never done this before, and so you know, that's a death sentence in a Baptist church to say, well, you know, we're doing something different. But anyway, we're going to try this. So we want you to be a part of this time together. It's going to be a great time. We want everyone reading, praying, and discussing the same text each month. Now, one of the things that I'm going to ask our reach groups on Sunday morning, our small groups, and Sunday afternoon groups, our DTR groups, our grow groups, one of the things we want to do is every week when we gather this month to say, hey guys, what is God showing you in Proverbs? What did he show you this week in Proverbs? So you be prepared to come along the lines and do that. Let me give you a quick outline of what this study is going to look like over the next 5 weeks, including today. Quick outline. This morning we're going to be looking at a father's call to wisdom. And we're going to cover chapter 1 through 9. You kind of see those up on the board up there. We're going to take care of that. And then we're going to be moving from wisdom and foolishness and talking about Solomon's design and what that looks like. Wisdom and foolishness will be in there as well. And then we're on our fourth sermon, wisdom to knowing God. How can we know God? What is the wisdom to knowing him? And how do we draw closer to that? And then last but not least, the mother's wisdom for her son in chapter 31. That wonderful Proverbs woman, chapter 31. Amen, where all women say, that's made up, there ain't no such woman. Anyway, we're going to take a look at these things. So take a look with me, if you will. In chapter 1, we're going to take a look at the main point of this study and the main point of this book, if you will. Verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, and give prudence to the naive, and youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so, guys, what we're looking at in this time together in the Word is this, is that we would grow in godly wisdom. How many of us have come to a place and a situation in our lives and, man, I just wish I knew what to do. I just wish I knew what to do. Well, I believe that the book of Proverbs in many of those situations gives us instruction for that. And we have to understand what that looks like. And so our desire is not only that we would gain godly wisdom, but as a result of that, our understanding of who God is, our relationship to Him, and what it looks like to walk as His child would drastically be transformed, and we would walk in obedience to that as well. Now, it's kind of widely known or suspected, I guess you will, that Solomon wrote all the Proverbs. And that's not the case. He wrote most of them. Bible scholars believe that he probably wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. Some of these were put together under his own hand, if you will. He kind of categorized them, organized them, and all those different things. Others were collected later on, even after his death, and accredited to him and yet organized by someone else. But there are other authors that contributed to this time together as well. And so what we're going to be doing on Sunday morning is we're going to take some huge chunks of Scripture and we're going to kind of do a quick overview, kind of an outlook of what that looks like. So today we're going to start in chapter 1 and we're going to be talking about a father's call to wisdom. How many parents in this room have said, man, I just wish my kids would get it, right? And trying to install some wisdom into them, some discretion into them, so that they would make proper and right choices in life. If there's a reality that we need to understand about Proverbs, it's this, guys. That these are not promises. They're Proverbs. In other words, they're wise sayings. How many times have parents said, well, you know, I know Proverbs says, you know, train up a child in the way you go. That's a wise saying, but it's not a promise from God. We need to understand the difference between those things. But these wise sayings, these Proverbs, can be very powerful for us. They can be very beneficial for us. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're looking at them in the right way and growing from them. Moving on, and I'm just going to, what we'll do this morning is, guys, we're just going to move through these chapters and hit some highlight verses so we get a big picture. And so later on, that when you go through these individually each day, you get a deeper message and a deeper understanding. I want you to look in chapter 1, verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Hey, one of the things I can guarantee you this, as we study God's Word and begin to see His desire for us, well, there's going to be someone out there, there's going to be someone that the enemy uses that says, hey, you don't have to do it that way. Why don't you come do it this way? And we've talked about that before, that the enemy loves to give us counterfeits. Hey, we buy into those counterfeits. God has a blessing. He has a plan for our lives. And then the enemy comes along and gives us some sort of a counterfeit that says, hey, you can get that same blessing and do it this way. Same gratification, same joy, same whatever. And so many times we're tempted to chase the counterfeit more so than the real thing. And what the world is offering toward us is counterfeits. So Proverbs tells us that life is full of choices. Life is full of choices. We all understand that. But guys, our choices have consequences that go with them. And God is trying to tell us today through His Word, hey, those choices, if you will choose my way, you will be more blessed for the benefit of it. It will bless your life. And so He says in verse 22 through 23, He says, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. When we see in this text right here, he says, wisdom is calling us. Here's the cool thing, guys. I believe that godly wisdom is a gift from God. I really do. And I believe that if we seek it, we will find it. He will ensure that we receive it. I know many times I'm in the hospital and I'm there, I'm praying for someone and I'm praying for the doctors, I'm praying for the nurse, I'm praying for the specialists who are going to be ministering to this person in a medical sense. And oftentimes my prayer will be, God, you've given them education, you've given them experience and all those, they've gained all that stuff. But now I'm asking you to give them godly wisdom so that they can take the knowledge they have and put it into a practice in a way that ministers to the loved one, but also glorifies God. So godly wisdom, man, if we seek that then and humbly desire that, the cool thing is God wants us to have it. As we read through these chapters, God's going to reveal that wisdom to us. But here's the catch, guys. It does no good whatsoever if we're not applying it. I mean, if we're not going to apply, if we're not going to take the truths that God reveals to us and apply those things to our lives, our decisions, our choices, we're wasting our time. And so it has to be an application. This is one of those things, guys, where application is everything. It's not just that we know it, we have to apply it. So wisdom is calling. Verse 29 through 30 in this same chapter shows us, he says, because they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. The rejection of godly wisdom, guys, has a price. I mean, every one of us in this room, somewhere down the line, the Bible says, for we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, every one of us in this room, there's been a place and time in our life where we knew what God wanted us to do, and we chose to rebel and reject that and do what we wanted to do. And the reality is, those consequences, in our earthly sense, they may not have been very big. But spiritually, that sin separates us from God. And even for the child of God who's been forgiven, sin becomes a barrier, and our relationship is not what it should be with the Father. So rejecting godly wisdom has a price, and we have to make a decision. Hey, is it my life's desire to live life God's way or the world's way? Now, those two things are very, very conflicting at times. And sometimes you have to decide, am I going to do things God's way or my own fleshly way? And because there's times when that temptation and all those things, it draws us away from what the truth of God's Word has to say to us. But we understand both of those choices have consequences. And those consequences can be wonderful or they can be devastating. Life choices. Sometimes, you know, just in a moment, our life can be drastically changed. All because of choices. All because of the consequences that come from those choices. So the reality of it is this, guys, as we look at God's Word and we see those pearls, if you will, of wisdom, those pearls that He's given to us, we got to decide, you know what? I'm going to make the choice to apply godly wisdom to my life. God, I desire godly wisdom, and I want to apply that godly wisdom because I believe that You will bless the consequences of those choices. We have to make that decision. We have to do that from the very beginning. He says in chapter 2, choose wisdom. Verse 4 through 6, if you seek her, speaking of wisdom, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. Man, he says, you know what? Godly wisdom is a great treasure. What if we sought godly wisdom in our life the way we seek financial increase and gain? What if we said, God, today, you know what? I don't want to just grow in my earthly sense as far as my finances or my physical sense as far as my health and well-being. You know what? I want to grow in my spiritual knowledge of who You are. I want You to give me godly wisdom so that not only I can live a life that will honor and glorify You, but I'm more greatly used for Your kingdom. Man, when we're living the way God wants us to, when we're taking that treasure of His wisdom into our heart and saying, you know what? God is giving me instruction here. He's showing me the way to go. He's telling me what I should do. When we're obedient to that, man, He's just so free to bless us, guys. He really is. I mean, how many of us as parents or grandparents spend our time where it's a balancing act between correcting a child and blessing a child? And we'd all rather bless, wouldn't we? We don't enjoy correction, but we do know this. You can't do both at the same time because it sends a conflicting message, doesn't it? That doesn't mean we don't love, but you can't pour out your blessings and all those things at the same time you're trying to correct because why? It sends conflicting messages. And the child's like, am I in trouble or not? You know, which one is it? So God, when He's either correcting us or blessing us, and sometimes His correction is the blessing, amen? But the reality of it is this, we don't see it that way. So I want to live in the blessed part. I want to live in that part. I want to walk in obedience to Him, and so that I know that His way, wisdom, gaining knowledge of His godly wisdom is a key for that. Why? Verse 7, 8, and 9 in chapter 2 says this, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Sound wisdom. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He's guarding the path of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. He said, man, He's got a path for us. We choose wisdom. Why? Because He's guarding my path. He's guarding my path. One of the main struggles we have with our children and raising families, hey, I want you to walk the right path in life. Well, you know what? Godly wisdom leads us down the right path. It guards our path. It shields our path. It preserves our path and makes it a good path. In verse 22 and 20 through 22, it talks about the difference between life and death. So you, in verse 20, so you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. That's an indicator of death, to be cut off from the land. And the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Man, God has a path of life for us, guys. Remember what he said, John 10:10. What? The enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We have to decide, I'm going to choose God's way, or I'm going to choose the world's way. And I'm willing to have the consequences of whatever those choices are, whatever that looks like. Man, I want to choose God's way. But I can't do that if I don't know it. And so for us to seek godly wisdom is so very important for us. Look in chapter 3. Chapter 3 begins in verse 2. What are some of the keys? What are some of the blessings, if you will? We can just run through this. Some of the blessings of choosing wisdom and its rewards. Verse 2 says, length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. Man, how many times have I stood as a pastor at someone's funeral or memorial service and said, you know what? They live such a blessed life. And so many times we connect blessed with length of years, don't we? Well, I want you to know something. Length of years doesn't necessarily mean we fulfill God's plan. But one thing that I do know is this, is when God's blessed us with a long life and we've been a faithful servant to Him, it's an indicator of His blessing on our life. Well, wise choices lends itself toward length of years and a life more abundantly. Verse 4, he says, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Man, if you walk in godly wisdom, you find favor in the sight of God and of man. You know what that means? That means God's blessing you and man is respecting you. God is blessing and man is respecting. Some of the wisest people in our lives, you know what? When we look at them for advice and all those things, we see wisdom in them. And sometimes we see that as not necessarily in years. I know a lot of people that grew old but never grew up. Amen? So it's not necessarily an age thing, but a lot of times we look to age for wisdom. Why? Because they've lived a long life and they've experienced all these different things. Now you're saying, you know what? You find favor in the sight of God and man. Then there's physical blessings. Verse 8, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Can I tell you something, guys? If we just started making wise choices about our physical well-being, it would be much better. You ever thought that your body is a gift from God? It is. Your body, our bodies, are gifts from God. He's given us one of the most greatest blessings, just this physical body. But a lot of times we don't make wise choices about it. This big new trend right now, I don't know anything about it. All I know is we really don't know anything about it. And that's all this vaping and all those different things. Now, you may do that. I don't know who does and doesn't do that, so I'm not pointing straight at you. But I do know this. Old country boy got enough sense to realize this. That if you take chemicals, light them up, and suck them in your body, that's probably not a wise choice. Amen? I mean, that's just the reality of it. I heard a report the other day that they've discovered now that your parents, this will scare you to death, that what they've discovered now is that you can vape vodka and you will get drunk quicker off less alcohol. Why? Because it goes straight to your lungs. Try that when you get home, kids. Amen. Well, did you hear what the preacher did this morning? But I'm just trying to think, guys. Think about it. You know, when my bride and I were talking about this the other day, I remember hearing conversations and studies in our society where 50, 60, 70 years ago, the same mindset was about smoking cigarettes. Hey, this is cool. Everybody does it. It's not harmful. No big deal. But now we've lived in an epidemic of people who've died as a result of smoking and all those different things. But when you just back up and take a look, and let me tell you something, guys. I've used enough. You could fill this room up with the tobacco I've used, so I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just telling you, when we think about it, some of the things we do physically aren't real wise. They're not real smart. So we need to make wise choices and decisions. Our bodies, we can receive physical blessings. You'll like this, verse 9 right there. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Do you know that the book of Proverbs talks a lot about how we use our finances? And this is not a prosperity gospel message, but it is this. If we make wise, godly choices with our finances, God will bless those choices because we are faithful to Him to use them for His glory. So many people striving to get ahead financially. Man, God's got a financial plan for your life, and I'm telling you right now, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. Like I said, that's not a prosperity gospel thing. It's just God's blessings. Some of the greatest faithful servants of Scripture were some of the most prosperous. The reason why? Because they kept their prosperity, they kept their wealth in a right place. It never was their source of comfort, their source of strength, security. They trusted God for those things. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, he says, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Riches and honor. Godly wisdom can bring these things. Who doesn't want that? Verse 24 through 26 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He says, you know what? Godly wisdom brings us peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace of mind and peace of heart. Just that we can lay down at night and put our head on a pillow and we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Why? Because God, we know that God's in control and we're making the right choices in life. He's able to bless those things. Gives us peace of mind and peace of heart. Man, how many times have we stayed up at night worried and stressing all these things about, is this going to work out? Is that going to work out? Or I made some bad choices and now the consequences are coming. Stress and worry. So he says there's peace of mind and peace of heart. Just one more, verse 33 through 35. It says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Man, God's blessings go with those who make wise, godly choices according to his word. But guys, it's not so for the foolish, for the wicked. So many times, guys, I'm just to be honest with you, so many times in life we go through struggles and hardships and all those different things. And can I tell you something? This is what we do. God, why? Can I tell you something? Most of the time, it's not God's fault at all. We're just reaping the consequences of our own choices. We're just reaping the consequences of our own choices. So we need to make wise choices if those things are going to diminish in our lives. Chapter 4 through 7. Talking about this father, it's so interesting to me that this book of Proverbs, it kind of starts out, if you will, with a push by a father to his sons, to his son, and it closes out from a mother to her son. But here we see in chapter 4 through 7, it talks about watching out, listening to your father. Chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, it says, when I was a son to my father, tender and only and the only sight in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom is with all your acquiring, get understanding. So here's this father. He said, look, I'm speaking to my son. He said, the way my father taught me, I'm fixing to pass it on to you. The cool thing about godly wisdom is this, church. When we gain it and God gives it to us, we have the great privilege of passing it on to the next generation. My grandfather, my mother's father, was one of the wisest men I ever knew. He didn't have much education. As a young man, he was not wealthy and all those different things as he went through life and everything. But he had what I call a plowboy's wisdom. He was just smart in the ways of life and the ways of the world, and I never forget that. But it wasn't godly wisdom. It wasn't godly wisdom. Matter of fact, he didn't get saved until he was 73 years old, laying in St. Dominic's Hospital after a triple bypass surgery. And he looked at me one night about 2 o'clock in the morning and said, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. I said, it don't have to be that way. And that day, that night, he prayed and asked Christ into his heart and into his life. He lived a lifetime away from the Lord and away from the church. And let me tell you why. Because at 7 years old, he walked down the aisle of a church, told a pastor he wanted to be saved, and the preacher told him, you don't know what you're doing, go sit back down. And for that little boy's heart, he said, God doesn't want me, the church doesn't want me, and he spent the rest of his life away from the world, away from the Word. But when he got saved, his heart changed. But because of his life and because of the way he lived, he's one of the wisest men I ever knew. Wisdom is great, and I love those things that he handed down to me. But let me tell you something. The things I want to hand down to my children, the things I want to hand down to my grandchildren, they're not wisdom from the world. I want to hand down some godly wisdom. I want to hand it down. So here he's saying, you know what? His father taught him. I'm wanting to pass it on. And what is he wanting to pass on? Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my saying. The years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your step will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. He says, watch your path. He says, son, watch where you're going. Watch the walk that you walk, the direction that you're going, the people that you're with. Stay true to the path that God has given you. Watch your path. How many of us have spent fearful nights, fretful nights? Why? Because someone we love has gotten off the right path and gotten on the wrong path. So here this father is saying, hey, stay on the right path. Watch where you're going. Verse 23 through 24. 23 through 24, watch over your heart with all diligence, and from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. He says, not only watch your path, watch your heart. Son, watch your heart. I love it that these two verses are connected in the way he says, watch your heart and watch your words. You know, Jesus said that what comes out of our mouth is what? The fruit of what's really in our hearts. And that's what destroys us, if you will. See, what's hidden in our heart, guys, eventually it does come out of our mouth. So he says, watch your path, watch your heart. Man, when anger and bitterness take root in our heart, it's so hard for the joy of God to come in and fill that space. Watch your heart, watch your words. And then in chapter 5, he says in verse 1 through 4, he says, my son, give attention to wisdom, to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and with the lips you may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold of Sheol. Here he says in this text, he says, watch your fleshly desires. Now, we talked about this chapter last week. We talked about the tsunami, if you will, the epidemic of pornography, and we talked how God's Word says in chapter 5 here, so I won't go into great depth. But the reality of it is this. One of the things this father is telling his son, hey, watch your fleshly desires. What you lust after and desire after has the ability to destroy you. Be cautious about this. Watch your fleshly desires. Verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth as a loving hind and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. What did we say last week? Hey, you need to watch God's design and plan. In other words, God has a plan for this sexuality that he's given to you. When your desire is tempted to step outside of that plan, there's destruction out there. There's destruction. But if you stay within the plan, if you one man, one woman for life, what a blessing it is. He says, watch for God's plan. Watch for God's design. It's a healthy sexuality where it's a blessing to you, not the destructive that we see in our culture today. Day after day after day, guys, we see where someone's life is being destroyed. Powerful men and women, powerful men who have control over great wealth and companies and all these different things, and then all of a sudden, bam, something comes up, and there was some sexual perversion in their past that comes back to haunt them, and their whole lives, everything's destroyed. See, Proverbs talks about this. Be cautious about that. Be cautious about these things. The destructive nature is there. Chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, and observe her ways. Be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. He says, watch out for laziness. He says, son, you need to watch it. Look at nature. Even nature itself shows us in the ants that they work hard and diligently so they can prepare for themselves. Can I tell you right now, guys, we live in a world full of laziness. Amen? And some people kind of get in this mindset, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm just supposed to kick back. Guys, even in the garden, God had work for man to do. So we need to guard against laziness. We need to teach our children and grandchildren the great benefit of good work. We don't need to be lazy. Chapter 6 talks to this. He says, watch your life. Chapter 6, verse 16. Watch your life. There are six things which the Lord hates, and yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness who utters lies, and the one who spreads strife among the brothers. He says, watch your life. You know what the greatest wisdom that he gave to his son is this? Hey, there's some things out there that God just don't like. And you know what? If that's the way God feels about them, that's the way you ought to feel about them too. So watch your life. Let the things of God that honor God and glorify God, let those be your treasure. Let that be your joy. And the things that God hates, the things that God wants to destroy, let that be your heart about those things as well. Man, when sin is wrecking our lives or the lives of those we love, our churches, our communities, man, it ought to break our heart. That doesn't mean we hate the sinner. But we hate the results that sin has in our folks' lives. So we need to have this same mind. Watch your life, he says. Watch your life. And then verse 24 through 26. To keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of an adulteress, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Let her capture you with her eyelids. He says, for on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Man, again, we see this mention of this harlot. And I just go ahead and tell you, he says, watch out for this harlot. If you look at chapter 7, the whole chapter is about this adulterous woman. He said, and the Bible in Proverbs talks a lot about the temptation of lust. And I want you to know something. And the reason why is because God knew we needed great wisdom and insight into this area because we're susceptible to walk this path of destruction. Man, chapter 7 is all about this woman. Look at what it says in verse 19 through 23 in chapter 7. 19 through 23, he says, this is what she says. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. And the scriptures are drawing this picture. He says, you know what? This adulterous woman is just drawing. Say, hey, come on. It's going to be great. You're going to have fun. My husband's away. My bed is made. We're ready to just have our lust and all these different things. He says, you don't realize that death waits at the end of that trap. And so there's a lot to talk about this harlot woman. Guys, let me tell you something. You need to guard your eyes. We need to guard our eyes. Because that's the beginning of that desire. And ladies, can I tell you something? If you don't want a man to treat you like a harlot, you ought not dress like a harlot, you ought not act like a harlot, and you ought not talk like a harlot. Amen? Now, I know that's not, oh, that's so cute. Can I tell you something? I see some of our young ladies, they wear some real nice blouses, but they left their pants at home. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you don't want a man to look at you like that, don't dress like that. The other day, I'm at a gas pump. I'm pumping gas in my vehicle. And I hear, I got embarrassed. I've never heard cursing like that in my life. And I worked offshore with a bunch of guys for years. I was the king of them. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have never. And I look over, and there's about an 18-year-old girl, don't weigh 100 pounds. And she is cussing somebody out on that phone. And I'm telling you right now, I hadn't heard, it'd make a sailor blush the way she was talking. Don't be talking like that. If you want a man to treat you like a queen, you need to see yourself as a queen and live as a queen. Don't conduct yourself that way. Amen or oh my. Oh, that got real personal. But I'm serious. Hey, guys, when you go, I'm not a bass fisherman, but I got enough sense to know this. When you throw that bait out there, man, you just dragging it through. You know why? Because you want that fish to say, "Ooh, I want that." But that fish would. They don't realize there's a hook in there. And ladies, when you're dressing inappropriately, unmodest, and all those different things, and all you guys hanging out for God and everybody else to see, you're fishing. So if you want that type of man that will lust after you to look like you, look at you like that, then that's what you're fishing for. Be cautious about that. Be cautious about that. Okay, that's enough about that. I mean, is it not true, though, folks? This is the world we live in. This is our culture and society. This is what our children are growing up. And I'm afraid that our young women are being taught that you can dress, act, talk like the harlot, but our men are going to treat you like queens. And can I tell you something? The men are not going to do that. And ladies, let me tell you something. You don't want a man who won't treat you like a queen. The Bible says in marriage, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I promise you this, it was not in a lustful way. These four chapters, guys, they give us instructions for life. You see what I'm saying? They're filled with wisdom. And we put those things into practice, we can live blessed, God-honoring lives, full lives. These boundaries, these guidelines that God is telling us right here, let me tell you something, you don't have to do any of them. But there are consequences. The boundaries, guys, God does not give us the boundaries to make us live horrible, old, beaten down lives. God gives us guidelines, instructions, wisdom, so that we can live orderly lives that are a blessing to us and a glory to Him. The reality of it is this, man, we love our new parking lot. Amen, church? I mean, we love our new parking lot. We really do. But you know what really made the difference in our parking lot? When we put them lines out there. Because see, before we put the lines out there, it was just like this. Everybody just parked wherever. It was just like, hey, man, I just park over here. And I just park over there. And here's the deal. Those lines, all it is some paint. Any vehicle out there can run over every one of them lines, right? It's not a physical barrier like a bumper or something like that, which we're going to put some of them up for some of y'all. Anyway, but the reality of it is this. Those painted lines, they're not a physical barrier. But you know what they give us? They give us order. They give us order. Okay, one vehicle goes right here, and another vehicle goes right here. The direction of traffic is this way. You see what I'm saying? It gives us order. And because we have order, it's better for everybody. That's what godly wisdom does, guys. It's not boundaries that say, hey, you can't go here and you can't do that. God doesn't do that. He lets us make choices. But He gives us these boundaries because He knows it's better for us. What a great blessing. Chapter 8 and 9. We're going to blow through this in 5 minutes. See, y'all didn't think I could do this, did you? Chapter 8, verse 4. Wisdom is calling. To you, O men, I call. To my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence. And O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things. Noble things, he says. And the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. See, guys, we have to make some choices. He said, you know what? Wisdom is calling and saying, you know what? I have a path. I have a plan. I have directions for you. And those things will lead you to a better life. But you have to make the choice. We have to decide. As we study God's Word, as we study chapter by chapter, as we pray, God, I'd really like for you to show me godly wisdom here. But I want you to know something. We have to decide, am I going to apply that wisdom to my life? Verse 17 through 21. I love those who love me. Man, listen to that. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, and even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. What a great blessing. He says in verse 20, he says, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. This is wisdom speaking to us. Godly wisdom can be ours, guys, if we seek it. That's the great thing. God wants every one of us in this room to spend time in His Word and to soak in His wisdom so that we can apply it to our lives and know Him better. Chapter 9 speaks about that. Chapter 9, verse 9 through 11. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. See, here's the thing, guys. The wisest thing we'll ever do, the smartest thing we'll ever do, is to gain a better understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship to Him. That's the smartest thing we'll ever do. And as we study the Proverbs, He reveals not only His heart for us, but His love for us and His desire to lead us and to guide us. A better understanding and knowledge of God, Creator of all. He's the Creator of all things. And this, guess what, guys? He knows all things. He knows who we are. He knows our sin. He knows our past. He knows all those things. And yet He still loves us. And He desires to walk in a real relationship with each and every one of us. It's not a religious thing, guys. It's a relationship thing. And that's what He desires. That's what He wants. And so as we study Proverbs, my prayer is that we would understand who God is. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. He gave His life. No one took Jesus' life from Him. No one murdered Him or killed Him. He laid His life down. And the Scripture says He took our sins upon Himself. He took them. He willingly took them so that His righteousness could be placed on a sinner like me and you. Because see, here's the deal. That's the only way we're ever going to be accepted by the Father. Now, He looked at my life, and He sees my sin, He sees my heart. He says, I can't have that in my presence. But then Jesus changed everything. Jesus stepped in, shed His precious blood to redeem me and make me a child of God. I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy of that. I'm so glad today to know that I don't have to work to earn that. It is a free gift from God. He has given us life and eternal life through Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Here's the truth we need to grasp today, guys. God has given us life, every one of us in this room. Our hearts are beating, our lungs are breathing, because God Almighty gave you life. Your mother and daddy may have contributed the DNA, but God's the one that gave you life. Psalms 139 tells us that. He knew you before your mom and daddy ever knew you. He breathed life into you, and He's the one who sustains your life today. Man, if it weren't for His grace and mercy, our feet would have never hit the floor today. Our lungs would not have worked. Our heart would not have beat, and we would be dead. But because He gave us life, if we're going to have a life that's fulfilled, that means we've got to do it His way. The only way we can do that is through giving our life to Him. Father, today I thank You. I thank You for the wisdom of Your Word, that You desire to give us this wisdom that we might walk in obedience to You. And because of that, God, we are so blessed. God, for years, all I thought salvation was all about was just a get-out-of-hell card. That if you give your life to Jesus, that when you die, you get to go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell. And no one ever told me of the great joy and the great blessing of living with You now, and how You desire to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. Lord, I pray right now for every person within the sound of my voice. I pray, Father, that every person would know you, be in a relationship with you, and that our heart's desire because of that relationship would be to honor you with our lives. You love us so much, and you've given us so much direction. But Lord, reality is, maybe we haven't embraced it or applied it. So I pray that over these next few weeks, that not only would you draw us to yourself, but that we prayerfully would seek godly wisdom and apply those truths to our lives, every decision that we can, every day. Now, God, right here, right now, we ask you to do your work in our heart. Where we've sinned, forgive us. Where we've walked away, draw us back. If we've never known you, call us so that we might come running to salvation today. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen.